Hello, welcome to another episode of Chew the Fat with me, Patrick Hanlon.
And myself, Russell Alford, and we've been dying to share this one with you for quite a little bit of time now. We recorded this at the Dingle Food Festival. We love Dingle, don't we?
It is. I'd argue it's one of our favourite places across Ireland. So we find ourselves there quite often, especially every October. And every year it comes alive for the food festival.
And just a slight little plug, if you would like to read a lot more about Dingle in County Kerry, there is a very extensive post about it on our website, which is gastrogaze.com. But back to the podcast. Huge thank you for the lovely response to the live podcast from Sound 2019. Got some really nice comments and feedback and discussions going on about that after we published it. But now we're back on the road. This podcast is one we've been chasing for a while because with food trucks, they're not in one place most of the time. Isn't that right?
That is absolutely correct. And this lady has been hard to track down, but we finally got her. Absolutely delighted and thrilled to spend some time with Julia Hemingway, who is the creator and the owner and the chef of Julia's Lobster Truck. And she has a fascinating story and a beautiful approach to food, to Irish food, to Irish produce. And so we catch her as she's just opening her van on the first day of the food festival. So there is a bit of noise in the background, but it captures the atmosphere perfectly.
Great excuse. So if you do enjoy this episode, please feel free, of course, to share it across your own social media if you like. You can rate and review it on wherever you receive and download your podcast as well, because that really helps. We got into, I think at one day earlier in the week, we were in the top 50 on Irish Arts Podcast, which is great, and that's where we'd like to continue to go and make us one of the top rated podcasts in Ireland. But I need your help for that, so that's that. Anyway, interesting story about Julia's Lobster Truck. We'll call it Lobsters and Rock and Lobster Roll, maybe? You'll see why. Here's the episode.
Hi, my name's Julia Hemingway. I'm the owner and cook of Julia's Lobster Truck. We take the trailer on local venues and go to quite big festivals.
And currently we're in Italy by the sound of things. Italy, County Kerry.
Yes, the wonders of Dingle Food Festival.
Is this your first time at the food festival?
Yes, it is. Yeah, so I'm really glad we're here.
Yeah. As are we. As are we, absolutely.
So that isn't an Irish accent. So how long have you called Ireland home?
25 years.
Wow.
This year, yeah. Wow. 25 years. I moved to just outside Dublin, actually.
Yeah.
Just on a sort of holiday, came down to the Barron. My cousin lives in the Barron, and fell in love with it. But I was meant to go back to London to work, and I just didn't.
And Jane now.
Yeah. Sorry, Fergus. So I just stayed.
Yeah.
And then I started cooking for Ronnie Wood. I was his private chef.
No way.
Yeah, which was the best job ever. And for his family, he, you know, just wanted shepherd's pie, but his wife was really into organic food, and so I cooked for them and all their recording friends. It was amazing. So
wow,
yeah.
I'd say you have a few stories about that job as well.
I do.
On to the next question.
Well, we're recording anyway, and it's in your own time. No. This is unusual because I'm currently standing in a food truck.
Yay!
And I'm quite happy about that. But Patrick's a customer.
Yeah.
Standing outside, yeah. Yes. And it's a lovely little space. It's very noticeable. When we saw it when we came down for at the judges' dinner for the Blossom Herons, which we're down here for, we saw the colour of the truck first and we all shrieked going, and we had known you were coming down, but we didn't realise you were feeding us that night. So you filled us with absolute joy. What is Julia's Lobster Truck? I think the name gives it away, but...
Okay, well, when I moved down to the Barron, I went and worked in a lobster bar. Lenans, right on the sea. And it was great fun. Very late nights, but basically the amazing thing about it was whenever a lobster was ordered, we'd run down, grab the lobster from the pier, run out. I mean, it was completely unprofessional, but amazing.
I love that.
Yeah, it was crazy. And same with mussels, you know, we just go down into the holding tanks on the outside the pub, right on the pier, and just grab mussels, go up, buckets, cook them, keep going, refreshing them. So it was amazing, and everything was just so incredibly fresh. But I was just so surprised that there wasn't more seafood being cooked and sold, and it seemed to be very high-end, very expensive, or not at all, and, you know, not cooked very simply. So for years I sort of thought, oh, I've got to do something, I want to make it more accessible, and because I live in the west of Ireland, you know, it's crazy, I know all the fishermen. So I had a few kids, and when they grew up a bit, I decided to get going and stop talking about it and actually put it into practice. So this, I thought food trucks are brilliant, and I just thought, well, it's a good way to start, you know.
And food trucks in Ireland are rare.
Yes.
And it's a real...
are having a moment of late. It's an increasing trend.
Yeah.
Although health and safety and the and all of that stuff is hampering it as well.
So kind of in terms of that, how did the setting up of it go for you? Because I've heard of, from a lot of people going, oh God, I hated it.
Well, I really enjoyed it.
Good.
Once once I got the loan, I was like, yay, let's go spending some money. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it, and sort of designing. And I knew just from age, experience, etc., that we're going to have some major ups and downs. And still, you know, even the running of it is ups and downs, and winging it, constantly winging it. But no, I really enjoyed setting it up. And but I mean, it helps. I've got, my husband is so handy and amazing. So, you know, it's a good team. If it was, if I was on my own, I'd probably never have done it. But, you know, it's been fun.
Amazing.
And it isn't, it's also all kinds of shellfish and other stuff. How are you cooking your chips?
Yes.
Because everybody is talking about the lobster, of course, and the crab and the clams and everything, but also those chips are legendary already.
Thank you. Beef fat.
Beef dripping, of course.
Yeah, and also not having them in baskets. So they're free swimming chips. So they just go in.
Yeah. Put that on the menu.
Fresh potatoes. There's no basket, so they're not enclosed in a, you know, they're free range. And beef dripping. And it was, they're twice or three times cooked.
Yeah.
So it works. And I'm really sorry it's beef dripping for anyone who doesn't like beef dripping, but...
I think if anyone is listening to this podcast... Yeah. Anyone who's listening to this podcast who's like, oh, I don't like beef dripping, it's like, I don't know if we're going to be friends, to be honest. It's fine. No, they are absolutely legendary. And as we describe ourselves as chip aficionados, they're up there. They are absolutely up there. So obviously, this is the Dingle Food Festival. This isn't your... you know, ordinary territory that's in the Burren, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the most picturesque, beautiful parts of Ireland.
I
suppose because you could go anywhere around, what made you pick your specific location?
What, in the Burren?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's magnetic. It's incredible. It's sort of in the middle of nowhere, but there's so much fun going on. There's great people, great music. It's just really good crack and really beautiful. So I think also there's a sense of freedom, and that's what I missed. So yeah, that's why I chose it, I think.
And it is a beautiful, absolutely stunning part of Ireland overall. And a great food community there as well. We've obviously had a couple of guests before on the podcast as well, but you know, Brigitte in particular, who's just a dream. You know, but a very similar story there for the two of you, actually. You know, came to Ireland and then kind of went, I'm not going back. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy, and it's the draw of this country. How many years have you been operation here?
We're just coming to the end of our... Oh, God, I don't know. Nearly 3 years. 3 years.
Great. Brilliant.
Trying to remember.
And then kind of, are you going to... I hate the word expand because it's a truck, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Are you able to?
I don't know.
But as in... business-wise, let's say, I guess.
Yeah, well, I definitely want to. I mean, I'm not going... I don't think I'm going to put more on the streets, but we'll change it up. And I think we want to do something from home. We live in a spectacular location. We've got some really nice sheds. So we're going to do something to them and open a little restaurant there and have people come to us. But that could be the wrong thing to do.
Already a lot of people are coming to you already, so it's a good thing. But I love the idea of a restaurant.
Yeah,
and the same kind of concept.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll be a bit, a little bit restricted to what I can do in here. Mm. And I get bored. So I want to be able to do whatever I want to do, cooking-wise.
Yeah, please don't get bored of this.
No. I mean, I love it, but, you know, I definitely want to change it up a little bit.
Of course. Oh, yeah. It's always good to keep the variety going.
Yeah.
When it comes to your produce, your supplier is the sea, essentially.
Yeah.
Irish lobster, you know, people, I remember when I was eating it yesterday, I was sitting on the bench just down the road, and people were like, lobster at a food festival. It's very unique.
Yeah.
People very intrigued by it, you know.
And asking, where can I find that? Where? Yeah.
So it's not a thing that we're probably too used to eating, despite the fact, you know, we are an island.
Yeah.
So have you found yourself almost the question of vegan type of thing? But have you anything other than lobster?
Yeah, I do. I mean, lobster is a draw. We usually do fish and chips. We use fresh hake mostly because it's so local. And we're pretty well known for it locally now, and it's good. I mean, I love good fish and chips. Mussels, clams, cockles, I just love them. You know, and there's so much you can do with them. There's so much variety. I always do different broths every week, and it is quite fun. What else do I do? Crab. When the lobsters, because lobsters are going to start going out of season now, so we get crab and we do some crab rolls and things like that. Yeah, it's great. I can't remember what else I do.
As an island. Obviously, Ireland's an island, it has ample sea. How come the Irish aren't eating shellfish and fish?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I think when I first came here, everyone on the sea ate it. You know, everyone who lived on the sea, they did eat it, and they sort of lived off it. But literally a few miles in, and no one was eating it. I think maybe people didn't know how to cook it, so it was nice. You know, it's a food that goes off very quickly and easily if it's not stored properly. So I think it's history, really. You know, it wasn't an easy thing to preserve, and everyone was preserving meat really here. And I don't know. You know, you're either a fisherman and a fisherman's daughter or son, or you just didn't do fish.
I think. Yeah.
You know, but it is getting better.
Is it changing?
Yeah. It is definitely changing. Yeah. Definitely, because I think because it's, you know, more accessible, but also, and people are, it's healthy and everyone's worrying about nutrition. You know, it is a really good source of nutrition. But yeah, I think it's more people are buying it, experimenting. You know, we're sort of shouting more about it. Oysters are having a big moment. We do oysters from here. We do flaggy shore oysters. Oh. And, God, they're good.
Oysters, you had quite a few flaggy shore oysters, though, other night. Probably more than our fair share.
Yeah.
But he said... It was the night of the storm.
Yeah.
Well, the storm kind of came and went.
That
it didn't happen.
Was. Yeah.
And he basically said, "The sooner you eat them all, the sooner we go home." And I'm ravenous for an oyster. Yeah. So I think in the end,
also, I'd been right beside them. So of course, it'd be rude not to have one and then
keep
eight
going.
More.
Always stand near the kitchen at events. That's
the
deal.
Yeah.
And I think I ate about 20.
Oh my god.
I think when I counted it up, I was like, I had 12 then, and I had, okay, I had 20, yeah.
They are good to eat though, they're so easy. Yes. We make oyster beignet as well, you know, deep fried in beef fat, battered. They are good.
Oh.
So good. So great way to cook them as well.
Oh, that sounds like absolute heaven.
Yeah, but we sort of stopped selling them, we just do them for ourselves and our friends. Because they're quite,
greedy,
you know.
I know. I love it.
So if I come along like a...
any of the festivals in the evening, and that's what we're doing pretty much.
Or if I just get some oysters, be like, oi, sure, throw them in there.
Exactly. It's such a good way to eat them.
Just outside your stall here is a beautiful heavy award. Could you talk us through?
Yeah, I got that. I didn't really... realize I got that, but I got that in at the end of last year, the McKenna's Guide Best in Ireland Award, and I was absolutely delighted. I think John came to the stall here at the picnic, but I wasn't here, so my son was working in here.
Okay.
And he kept saying, "Mum, some guy just came," and I said, "Okay, what does he look like?" He'd described him, and I said, "That's John McKenna." And I said, "Did you serve him?" And he went, "Yeah." And I said, "What did you give him?" And I was just like, "Oh my god!" Luckily,
I love this. Some man.
Luckily, it was Maliki, my son, and he's actually fantastic. So he fed him very well.
Oh, good.
And that came through. Well, it didn't come through the post, but the notification of it, came through the post. So it was, I was absolutely thrilled. I have to say.
And it is that thing of I suppose, like restaurant critics. Have they walk into a restaurant and everyone has palpitations.
Yeah.
Here you kind of know where to hide.
Exactly.
So it is like right now you're by the fridge and that's kind of the only kind of out of shot place, so to speak, when you're standing at the hatch.
True.
So if you're kind of like, okay, they're here to talk about my bit scary.
It is quite scary. I've had quite a few, Doreen Allen's been quite a few times as well. She's great. They're very supportive. Everyone, and Nev Maguire, he was here yesterday. I almost had to tell him to leave because with him comes hundreds, you know, and but so supportive and kind and really brilliant, actually. Great support from everyone.
Could you talk us through a few of your favourite Irish ingredients?
Yeah, that's hard.
No pressure.
But apart from fish and seafood. Yeah, well, we use, we've got some local organic growers. So we've got Moy Hill Farm.
Yeah.
They're pretty amazing. They have a really big sort of range of seasonal vegetables and salads and things. And then my sister-in-law, Margaret, she actually grows all my salad for me in her garden. She is green fingered heaven.
Wow.
So, and all the herbs and everything that I put through, and my nasturtiums, that's all from Margaret. So she's my hero, actually. So they're my, and Dirk, I mustn't forget Dirk, because he's lived in Ireland for about 40 years and he was one of the first organic growers. Yeah. He's amazing. So I get a lot of my fennel and things from him.
Gorgeous.
So that's great. And then my husband is an organic farmer and he farms organic beef and lamb, which I don't use on the trailer.
But tell us more.
At home.
Yes.
Yeah, we eat a lot of that at home. Good. So we're really lucky,
So you really have a full 360 immersion in food in this country, which is fantastic.
Yeah, definitely.
On that, how have you seen the Irish cuisine evolve over...
Wow.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first moved here, so Kinvara would be our local town, you know, where the closest shop, really. What could you get? Galty cheese, hairy bacon, cabbage spuds, and I mean, just in the local, you know, shop.
Yeah.
and milk, obviously. Yeah. And now, I mean, I think, I don't know when it happened, but I remember going, my God, they've got red peppers, you know, in the shop.
Yeah.
Exotic. Yeah, yeah, so exotic. And now the local shop in Kinvara sells organic vegetables and things. I mean, it's extraordinary. Yeah. Well, 20 years, really amazing. And so exciting because for me, you know, I remember driving back to England to see my dad and filling the car with like olive oil and, you know, stuff that I couldn't. I think we had to go to the chemist to buy olive oil.
Yeah.
So, you know, gone from that to now going back to England or even to Paris and just thinking, God, the produce here is nothing like in Ireland. Yeah. Ireland, we have the best ingredients. We are just so lucky.
Mm. I'm so glad to hear you say that. Yeah. And not only for the sake of a recording, we also said something similar recently.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were kind of saying, turn it in type of thing, you know. It's like, well, it's like it is at the moment, the food scene, our producers in particular, are just out of this world.
Absolutely extraordinary. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
But also because we've got such incredible land and no one here.
And in terms of the future, though, of Irish food, are there any challenges that you see on the horizon?
Yeah. I haven't actually looked forward that much. Challenges on the horizon, I mean, apart from this economic thing that's going on, but actually we're so self-contained here. I'm hoping it just gets better. The only thing, I mean, farming, I think there's challenges there. I really do. I just think that there should be more cows on the grass rather than in sheds.
Yeah.
And it really enriches the meat. I mean, you can taste it. We know Irish beef, Irish lamb, it's the best in the world. So I'm hoping that, you know, that continues rather than all these sheds. But no, I think we're really lucky. I think more people will start growing their own veg.
Yeah.
Because why not? You know, it works. We've got incredible land. There's more and more people interested in seaweed, which is fantastic. So now I think we're good to go.
I think it's also interesting hearing it from your perspective, because as you've named, you know, where you get your ingredients from and everything like that.
Yeah.
You're almost self-contained in your own way too, which is a real coup for any business owner too, to have, you know, such very local connections for your supplies and not worrying about almost the big wider world out there as well.
It's true, actually. Yeah. It's very true.
Because, yeah, it's a big worry from a lot of people's perspectives as to all that, especially with all going on.
Yeah, exactly.
In the other place, yes.
Yeah, that embarrassment.
Yes. Thank you so much to Julia for her time just before opening the hatch and feeding the hundreds of people who were attending the Dingle Food Festival the day that we recorded. If your mouth is drooling and salivating at the thought of a lovely portion of half a lobster and those extremely luscious, delicious chips, you can find out exactly where you'll find Julia on her Instagram and her Facebook in particular. It's at Julia's Lobster Truck on those, and you can follow her around the country or go to the Burren and try out some of the fantastic food that she is cooking. Also, if the idea of food trucks around Ireland in particular is something of interest to you, we actually have a blog post about that on gastrogaze.com. If you'd like to search Ireland Street Food Truck Revolution, it will come up there, and we've showcased a number of people doing great and good things all around the country, all around the island, doing great things on wheels, essentially. And it's a very nice read if you'd like to take a look at that. But until next time, thank you for listening to this episode of Chew the Fat, and don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review it if you wish.